Well, good day, my friends. Welcome to Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And I want to wish you a wonderful and a blessed Christmas. Whether you are listening to this program just before Christmas or just after Christmas, I pray that this year you've discovered anew the wonderful blessing and joy of knowing Jesus in your life again as he is born anew into your world. And of course, that's the very central thing of the incarnation of Christ, that God desires to enter into our world in a way in which we can understand so that God can bless us and renew us and save us and return us to the state that God created us to be. So welcome to the show, The Ministry and Me. It's a wonderful joy to be with you again today. You're listening to Dr. Dion Foster. And in the next half hour, we're going to try and look at how we can shape our message a little bit around the message of Christmas, but always remembering that the purpose of this program is to find ways to help you to use all of your life as a gift to God. Knowing that you don't have to be in the ordained ministry as a pastor or a priest or a dominie or a reverend in order to be in ministry for God in Christ, because all of your life can be an act of ministry and worship. You can use what you do every day. Even that wonderful Christmas meal you prepared can be an act of worship and glory to God. Now, today I want to start by reading a very well-known passage, and it comes to us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And I would encourage you, if you have a Bible, pull it nearby, open up on Luke chapter 2 in the New Testament, and we're going to be reading from verses 8 to 20. And this is an account of ordinary people who were used by God to achieve something extraordinary. And you know, that speaks to me. It resonates with my heart and mind. And so just while you're paging towards Luke chapter 2, can I just remind you that the Radio Pulpit prayer line is always available. And if you, over this period of time, want to give someone a call at Radio Pulpit and maybe just speak to them for a few minutes, or if you're requiring prayer for someone or something very specific, then you can dial the Pretoria dialing code 012. And the telephone number is 334-1200. That's Pretoria 012. And the telephone number again is 334-1200. And then just to mention that you're welcome to contact me as well via email. I always rejoice to hear from you. And as I mentioned, each week I get many, many emails from listeners, and it's a joy to hear from you. So by all means, do drop me an email. My email address is digitaldion@gmail.com, and you spell that digitaldion at gmail.com, digitaldion@gmail.com, and I'll respond to you as soon as I'm able to. Now let's return to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verses 8 to 20. And Luke writes, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Do not fear, because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you and for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known to everyone, saying what had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard what the shepherds had told them were in awe. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, and she pondered them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and been told." Now, friends, the one thing that I want to say right at the beginning of today's program is that we need to recognize that our God is an intentional God. You know, there's not a single detail in all of creation that's not filled with purpose and meaning and God's loving intention. And I must admit that I've become so accustomed to the Christmas story and to the characters of this narrative, that sometimes I miss the subtler details in the Christmas story. When I think of the characters of Christmas, I often tend to wander towards what they've become in contemporary society rather than the truth of who they really were. I think about those cute kids who play Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, and of course the little baby born doll or the light bulb that's often used to play Jesus in the nativity play. Yet sometimes I think that we forget that the reason why there is a record of the lives of these particular people in the Gospels is because God desires to communicate something particularly important to us. God encounters people with a purpose. And these characters that we're going to hear about today are no different. And of course, the truth is God wants to encounter you with that same purpose as well. Now, we're going to look at some very, very interesting characters, and I'm not sure how many Christmas messages get preached about these guys. Today, we're going to look at the shepherds, and we'll see what we can learn about them and about ourselves and what God deliberately wishes to do in our lives around this Christmas season, whether it's before or after Christmas. Now, I want to encourage you to put that school play nativity scene out of your mind for the next few minutes. When you think of the shepherds, don't think of the little boys in their dad's bathrobes with towels around their heads. Think of real shepherds, the men who were encountered in the field that night outside of a town called Bethlehem in the ancient Near East. And as God speaks to you about your real life, think about what God may have wanted to say to those particular men about their lives. Now, we're going to look at five particular lessons that we can learn from the shepherds, and I want to encourage you to prepare yourselves to understand anew the miracle of Christmas in your life and for those whom you love today. And just to mention that if you don't get all 5 points, you're welcome to email me. I'll gladly send you my notes, or even better, why not order a copy of the CD from Radio Pulpit on the website at www.radiopulpit.com. So let's have a look. Lesson number one. The first thing that we learn from the shepherds is that who you are matters much more than what you do or what you bring. And this is the first lesson that we learn from the narrative of the real shepherds. It's the lesson that when we come to God, it's who we are that matters more than what we do or bring. It's the lesson of integrity. Now, there's an interesting difference between the two gospel accounts of the birth of Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 2, the first persons to visit the newborn king are three wise philosophers, often called kings from the East, from a center of learning. And Matthew mentions not only that these were wise people, but that they brought rare and expensive gifts, as visitors would normally do to honor a king. Now, of course, the reason for that is that Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience, and if you go and read Matthew 1 and 2, you'll see that Matthew concentrated very hard on helping the Jews to understand that Jesus followed in the lineage, in the birth line of King David. And so he wanted to emphasize the importance of the kings visiting Jesus. But in Luke's account, which is by all intents and purposes a much more orderly and historical account, you'll see he actually mentions that in Luke chapter 1 verse 3. In Luke's account, we read that the first people to visit the baby Jesus were a group of shepherds. Stinky, smelly, uneducated, unskilled shepherds. And they didn't come to bring any gifts. In fact, they came in fear and disbelief and with nothing but questions. But Luke tells us that they didn't even have enough sense to realize that Jesus is the Lord. Rather, they were so impressed by the angels that they called the angels Lord in their joy and amazement. Now, let me ask you this question. Who visits Jesus first in your life? Matthew's account or Luke's account? And this is a very important question that I want you to ask yourself today, because you see, very often our lives tend to be typified by these two responses. You see, many of us respond like Matthew. We think that we are not worthy to be in the fellowship and relationship with the king. We think that we cannot approach the king until we are good enough, like the kings and the wise men, and until we have right gifts to bear. However, the lesson that we learn from Luke's account with the shepherds is that God is not interested in what you know or what you bring. God simply longs for you to come, like the shepherds did, to come to him honestly, sometimes even in fear. Now, for some of that, that'll mean today that we need to come with our questions, and we need to come unclean, and we need to come sinful, and we need to come filled with fear. But the lesson that we learn from the shepherds is that we can come just as we are, because that is how God accepts us. So what stops you from allowing the miracle of the presence of Christ the King to be born in your life today? Is there anything that's holding you back from him today? Well, maybe you need to learn the first lesson that the shepherds taught us. God desires that you would come to him just as you are. Right, are you ready for lesson number two? So lesson number two is, not only is God more impressed, or does God desire who we are rather than what we do or what we bring, but the second lesson that we can learn today is that true worship should always lead to a measure of fear. Now that's quite a contradictory statement. You see, the central thing that we learn here is that when we truly encounter God, we enter into a life-changing awe. We read in the lesson today in verse 9 that an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. Now it's interesting to note some of the Greek words that Luke uses in this verse. An angel. Luke's gospel is a gospel in which angels play very important and significant parts. Now if you read Luke's gospel in its entirety, you'll see that each time that something truly significant happens, the angel of the Lord appears. For example, at the conception of Jesus in Luke 1, 28 to 37, at the announcement of his birth in Luke 2, verse 9 and 13 and 14, in Jesus' agony in the garden in Luke 22, verse 43, and so the list can go on and on. So we know that this must have been something truly important from that perspective, because the angels of the Lord appeared. The second thing that we are told is that the glory of the Lord shone around. Now the Greek word glory, doxa, speaks of a radiance of God's glory that would fill not only the heaven, but would also fill the hearts and minds of people. That was the essence of the glory of God. It wasn't just a bright light. It was something that truly filled the whole being of a person. And that's what we should really be desiring in our worship of God at Christmas. We should desire not only to be encountered by the spectacular, but we should desire for our hearts and our lives to be warmed. The third thing that we are told is that they were terrified. Now, the Greek word which is used here, ephobithesan, is from the root Greek word phobos, from which we get our English word phobia. Now, that's something very important, because we can see that they were truly afraid. They didn't understand, and that was okay. Now, what can we learn from the shepherds? The lesson is that when we truly encounter the living God, our lives should be filled with awe and a measure of fear. Or, because we come to realize that the only one who created the universe, the one who created us, not only who created us, but sustains us moment by moment, is real, and that God is not only all around us, but within us. When last did you hunger for that kind of experience of God that permeates and shines throughout all of reality? That kind of doxa which will truly transform your world. But it should also fill you with a measure of fear. We should be like the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6 verse 5, who when he's confronted with the truth of God's glory, he cries out, "Woe is me, for I am doomed. Every word that passes through my lips is sinful, and I live in a sinful world among sinful people, for I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Of course, the wonderful news of Isaiah chapter 6 is that we know that when we are filled with that recognition of the fear of the greatness of God, God always enters in with grace. And even in Isaiah 6, the Lord sends an angel to touch his lips and say that he is clean. And so the lesson that we need to learn today is that when we encounter God in our world, we should never be the same again. And we should hunger for a true encounter with God, who is holy and pure and loving and gracious, that will turn us from evil and cause us to run from our sin in order to seek the change that comes from truly worshiping God. You see, if what we sing and pray about God at Christmas time is true, we really should be terrified, but also, of course, greatly encouraged. So when last were you covered in the true glory of God, a glory that will purify you from sin and change your world forever? When last were you afraid of your sinful self, brokenhearted about the sin of others? You see, when the shepherds were encountered by the truth of God and the truth of themselves, their lives were changed forever. They couldn't just stay in the fields, they had to find the one who truly brings life and wholeness. Now, this is the third lesson that we need to learn from the shepherds. The third thing that we can learn from these ordinary shepherds is that God trusts ordinary people with extraordinary things. And this is the wonderful message of potential. Now, why did God choose shepherds? Why didn't God go to the mayor of Bethlehem? Have you ever thought about that? Why didn't God at least go to the local priest or rabbi? Why did God go to a field to some shepherds? Well, I think that there's a lesson in there for us. You see, the message passes by the nobles and kings, and it's set in a field outside of a small provincial town. Shepherds weren't very important people. In fact, they were amongst the poorest of the poor and the least respected members of society. They were usually outcasts or criminals or people who suffered from some kind of disability, and so they didn't have access to the normal means of earning a living. Now, think about this. Not only does God choose to announce the birth of the Savior of all humankind to people such as these, but God finds the poorest and most outcast amongst the shepherds to do it. Now, most of us would know where Bethlehem is today, but certainly in the time of Jesus, Bethlehem was a little known town. It certainly wasn't an important town or city. And God doesn't choose the shepherds in Jerusalem, the capital city. God chooses the shepherds in the Pofadder of the world, the Pofadder of Israel. God chooses shepherds in Bethlehem. And God doesn't even choose the best of the shepherds in Bethlehem, those who would have worked the day shift. God chooses the night shift to tell them that the Savior is to be born. Now, what is the lesson that we can learn here? Well, friends, the lesson that we need to learn is that sometimes we may feel a little bit like we're on the night shift, like the shepherds of that small provincial town in Bethlehem. Sometimes we may feel that life has passed us by, that we're not in the center of things, that we're in the dark, disregarded, misunderstood, and cast aside by the rest of society. Maybe this year has been a little bit like that for you. The good news is today that God wants you to take heart, because God has a great plan for you. You see, God is the God who passes by the nobles, who doesn't look at the mayor or the priest. God looks for the shepherd, the unexpected God, who does unexpected things with unexpected people in unexpected places. So I want to say to you, do not fear today. Take heart from this lesson and learn from the shepherds. If you're different, misunderstood, or perhaps disregarded or unloved or in need of a new start, God has a plan for you today. And trust me, God uses people who need him more than people who feel that they have no need of God. And God trusts the ordinary person with great things. Now, here's the fourth lesson that I want you to learn. The fourth lesson that we can learn from the shepherds is that you don't have to understand it all to share it with others. And this is the message of courage. Now, I've already mentioned that our shepherds didn't quite have it all together. Unlike the wise men, they weren't sure where to go, and in fact, they didn't know if they would find the Savior. And when they got there, they didn't know who they were speaking about. In short, we could say that they were shocked and confused. Now, does your life feel a little bit like that sometimes? I sure know mine does. Do you sometimes feel like things are happening over which you have no control? Do you sometimes feel that the world is passing you by and you don't understand it and there's nothing that you can do about it? Well, the shepherds have a lesson for you today. You see, these were not the wise men traveling from the east. These were people simply wanting to make it through the night by watching their sheep. When the angel of the Lord appears to them, they are terrified and confused, yet we hear that because of their courage and faithfulness, they do two things which transform history forever. First, we hear that they are eager to learn and grow, and they follow up what they have heard and learned in order to discover the Lord. We read that not only did they go to discover, but we hear that they hurried off to find Jesus, verse 16. Now, I want to ask you, what is God encouraging you to discover? What course of study or journey have you been putting off for 2010? When last did you hurry to learn something exciting about God or about the life that God has for you? When last did you invest time and energy in your spiritual growth and discipleship? You see, when we hurry to discover the Lord, our lives are changed forever. And I want to say, if God is calling you and prompting you to develop and grow, there's no time like the present. So take courage and learn and grow. The second thing that we learn from the shepherds is that in order to start sharing the miracle of the birth of Jesus with others, they didn't have to have it all together. In fact, in verse 19, we read that all were amazed by what the shepherds were telling them, even though they were simply telling what they have seen. And you see, unlike the wise men who had knowledge and gifts that motivated their witness, what set the shepherds apart was that they had a personal experience of having met Jesus. And that experience with Jesus changed their lives and allowed them to change the lives of others. And I want to encourage you to cultivate a hunger to hurry, to meet with the Jesus who transforms the world, not only at Christmas, but in the days after Christmas. And I want to say to you, when you set aside the time to hurry after him, to seek him and to find him, you will find that everything in your life can be different, simply because you have an experience with God in Christ. So lastly, I want to say to you, we need to learn from them that the courage to encounter Jesus is what makes their ministry happen in the fields. They didn't have to become priests in order to honor God. In fact, they went back to doing what they did before that. And people were amazed because in their ordinary work, their lives were so changed that they blessed God. And that's the fifth thing that I want to say to you today. The fifth lesson that we'll find about Jesus is that you'll find him in the familiar places. Now, isn't it amazing to notice where the shepherds find the Savior? You see, the lesson of location is an important one for you and I. When the shepherds find Jesus, they don't find him in an unfamiliar place, a palace, or in a court. The shepherds find Jesus in a stable, something they would have been very, very familiar with. And I sometimes think that we miss our Savior at Christmas because we are looking for him in all the wrong places. You know, I'm tired of hearing Christmas messages that encourage people to get out of the shopping mall and into church. I think that's unrealistic. I think what we need to say is, friends, we need to take Jesus with us into those places. We need to find him there and show others where we encounter him. And so I want to say to you, as you prepare for the new year and as you return to work, why not take Jesus back to the fields with you? And why not tell others about the experience that you have had with Jesus, where the glory of the Lord so transformed your life that it will transform their lives as well? Who of you will deliberately take Jesus into your new year and let him set the pace for the work that you do in the new year? Who of you will deliberately take Jesus amongst your unsaved friends and show them how much Jesus loves them? You see, the last Christmas lesson that we learn from the shepherds is the lesson of location. And location is important. And I believe that you'll find Jesus in the mundane places in this year if you just have the courage to look for him. Jesus is always to be found in the stable. So let's quickly recap. What are the five lessons that we've learned from the shepherds? The first lesson that we learned was the lesson of integrity. God is more impressed by who you are than God is impressed by what you know or bring. The second lesson is the lesson of life-changing awe. If we truly seek to worship God and worship God in spirit and in truth, our lives must be changed by the truth of who God is. The third thing is the lesson of potential. God trusts ordinary people to do great things. The fourth lesson, of course, was the lesson of faithful courage. You don't have to understand it all to share it, and you've got to take it to the field, but you need to encounter Jesus in order for Christmas to matter. And the fifth lesson is the lesson of location. Find Jesus where you are, and I can guarantee you that he is there. And if you just look for him and make him visible to others, your life will never be the same again. And so, friends, I want to encourage you this Christmas time to allow the Christ of Christmas to truly transform you. And I want to wish you a blessed Christmas and a prosperous new year from Megan and myself and from our children, Courtney and Liam. And know that we're praying with you as we ask you to continue praying for us. 2010 is a big year with the Global Day of Prayer 10th anniversary celebrations coming up and the Lausanne Congress on World Evangelization in Cape Town. These are all things that I'm involved in. And we'd certainly ask you to pray with us as we will be praying with you. So just to mention again, if you'd like to get hold of Radio Pulpit, you can do so on their Pretoria telephone number. And there's always someone standing by for prayer or counseling. And you can phone 012-334-1200. That's 012-334-1200. And if you'd like to get hold of me, you're welcome to do so. Please just drop me an email, and you can do so at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. Well, friends, you've been listening to Dr. Dion Foster, and what a joy it's been to share with you in this last half hour. Have a blessed day. Goodbye.